We now continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Yoma with lesson number 12, which is Yoma Perek Gimel, Mishneh Zayin and Ches, the third chapter of Yoma, the seventh and eighth Mishnayos. We're up to now Mishnayos number 7. We previously learned that upon coming out of the mikveh, the Kohen Gadol put on the Bigdei Lavon, the articles of clothing which were not made of gold at all, but only of linen, and were therefore white. And he performed Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim number 3, total. And we'll soon see what he did next. But before we go on to what he did next, this Mishnah teaches us something about the material out of which these linen garments were made. The Mishnah says, according to Rav Meir, the first opinion, Bashachar, in the morning, hoya lovesh pelusin shel shneim osor mona. He would wear linen from a place called Pelusin, which some say was the town in Egypt known as Ramses, because the Targum Yerushalmi, when the Torah mentions the city of Ramses, translates it as Pelusin. So he would buy these, he would wear these imported linen garments, and the value of the mourning garments was shel shneim osar mona, 1,200 dinars, meaning each mona is 100 dinar, 12 mona is 1,200 dinarim. Uvein ho'arbayim, in the evening he would wear less expensive linen, hindvin, he would wear linen perhaps from India, shel shmona meos zuz, worth a total of 800 zuz, 800 dinrim. 12 plus 8 is 20, divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that the total value of the day's begodim, the day's linen, was 20 mona, 2,000, 2,000 dinrim, 1,800 morning, 1,200 morning, 800 in the evening. This is the opinion of Rav Meir, for a total of 20 mona. The Chachamim omnim, no, Chachamim budgeted 30 mona, 3,000 dinrim. Bashachar hayalove shel shmona osam mona. In the morning he wore begodim, clothing valued at 1,800 mona. I'm sorry, 1,800 dinrim, 18 mona, 1,800 dinrim. Uvein hu abayim shel shneim osam mona. In the evening he would wear a less expensive set of linen garments, valued at only 12 mona or 1,200 dinrim. Hakol shloshim mona, a total of 30. Elu mishel tzibur. This is what the tzibur, the public funds, budgeted. According to Rav Meir, 20 mona. According to the Chachamim, 30 mona for the big day lovon of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. V'im rotzo lahosif, suppose the Kohen Gadol, who was generally a wealthy person, wanted to spend more money on these begodim, he could, mosif mishelo, he could spend a little more out of his own pocket. The Gemara says that first he would have to take his donation, his money, and give it over to Hekdish, and Hekdish would then purchase the more expensive begodim. So now the Kohen Gadol is dressed. In the morning he's dressed in these pelusin, in these fancy, expensive linen white garments. Bolo Eitzel Poro. He's about to do his first avoda, which is specific to Yom Kippur. So he would come to the par, the cow, which he himself donated out of his own money. As the Pasuk says, in Parsha Zacharemos, Bezos Yovo Aharon El HaKodesh Befar Ben Boko Lechatos. This is what he brought, and he brought it, as we will see, as a forgiveness offering for himself and for his wife or for his family. The cow had been placed already in a certain section of the Beis HaMikdash, which would involve the least amount of walking and carrying and schlepping of the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, since the Kohen Gadol had to do his work in the Heichal and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the par, the cow, was placed as close to that point as possible. The par, the cow, was stationed, Haya Omeid, Bein Ho'ulam V'Lamizbeach, before the hallway in which the Heichal containing the Menorah, the Mizbeach HaKtores, and the Shulchan, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, were all inside this Ulam, this hall, this structure. Rosho LaDorom, the head of the cow, was facing south. So if you're looking at the door of the Heichal, the south is to your left, and the cow is facing in that direction. Uponov, but the cow's head was turned, Lamarov, turned to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Note that its rear was not facing the Mizbeach, was not facing the altar, was just facing out north. The reason being, we didn't want the rear of the animal to be right in front of the Mizbeach, lest the animal defecate to the face of the Mizbeach, which would be shameful. V'ha-Kohen Omeid, the Kohen stood by Mizrach. The Kohen stood facing the Heichal, with his face toward the Heichal, behind the cow. Ufonov Lamar, facing the west. He was facing west, standing east of the cow and facing west. V'somech shtei yodov olov, he put his two hands upon the par, did the procedure known as smicha, with all his koach, all of his strength, he would lean both hands upon the neck of the cow. Umizvada, and he would utter the confession. This was a major part of Yom Kippur, uttering and pronouncing the confession for his sins. The Gemara knows that the kapora here, the forgiveness, is one that's achieved through words, not through the sprinkling of blood, because the sprinkling of blood couldn't take place at this point. The cow wasn't even slaughtered yet. So therefore, this kapora must be a kaporas dvorim, a verbal kapora. V'kach hoya omer, and this is what he said, Ono, Hashem, where we have the word Hashem in the Mishnah, this is where the Kohen would pronounce the name of God, the Shem HaMefodosh, Kichsavo. He would pronounce the name which we spell, Yud-Hei, Vav-Hei. He would pronounce it as it is written. Ovisi, I sinned. Now an Ovon is an intentional sin. Porshati, I rebelled, also intentionally. Chotosi, I sinned accidentally, unintentionally, lifonecho. So the procedure is to first, according to the Mishnah here, to first confess his stricter sins and then move down to his lesser sins. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir in the Braisa in the Gemara, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Chachamim disagree and say that the sequence is not Ovisi Poshati Chotosi, but rather Chotosi Ovisi Poshati, beginning with the lesser sin, then moving up to the intentional sin, and then to the Pesha, to the rebellious sin. But our Mishnah again follows Rav Meir, so he confessed all of his sins. Ani Uvesi, I'm confessing my sins and the sins of my household. Ono Hashem, again, he pleaded of God, pronouncing the Shem Shomayim, Shem HaMefodosh. Kaperno, please forgive. La'avonos v'lapshoim v'lachatoim. Again, that same sequence. So the various types of sins. She'ovisi v'sheporshati v'shechotosi l'fonecho, which I have sinned before you. Ani uvesi, I and my household. Kakosuv b'soras Moshe avdecho, as is written in the Torah, ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, and he would read the entire pasuk. And this day, God will bring about forgiveness, letaher eschem, to purify you, mikol chatoseichem, from all your sins, lifnei Hashem, before God, titoru, you shall be cleansed. So he said, lifnei Hashem, there too he pronounced the Shem Shemayim kichsavo. He pronounced the name Yud-Hei Vav-Hei as it is written. So he did that now a total of three times. The first Ono Hashem, the second Ono Hashem, and the Hashem from the Pasuk Lifnei Hashem Titoru. After each time that he pronounced the Shem Shamayim, Vehein onen acharov. They would, meaning the kohol, the audience, would respond, Boruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Leolam Voed. Because, as the Gemara explains, when the name of God is pronounced in its spelling, Kichsavo, then the kohol must respond and bless God's name with the phrase, Boruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Leolam Voed. Once again, our Mishnah is following Rav Meir when it says several times, first Avon, then Pesha, then Chet. However, the halacha is that we follow the Chachomim, we say Chotosi, Avisi, Poshati, etc. As the Rambam puts it, Hoikor Etzleinu, that our bottom line is, Misvada al Hakalos, first one confesses the lesser sins, the Achakach al Hachamuros, and then goes on to the stricter sins. So we have completed lesson number 12.